Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
As far as the east is from. experienced another blessing from the Lord tonight. Amen. He showed up again, but he's not finished. Brother Ricky Bice, we're going to ask him if he'd come. And, of course, we appreciate him bringing Mrs. Bice with him. And she's such a blessing. And I'm not sure exactly how many years Brother Ricky has been in the ministry, but I know it's been a lot of years because he's got the gray hair to prove it. So, Brother Ricky, you come and preach to us. We're looking forward to hearing you tonight.
Thank you, Brother Alton. Well, I want to say it's a joy to be here tonight. I'm glad to have my wife with me, and I appreciate her and love her, and she's been with me. We married in 1977. Started pastoring in 1977, and but I met Sister Mildred, Brother Clovis, several years before that. Your girls were just really young, I believe. First time I met y'all, and I don't know how long that's been, but that's been a little while. Amen. Good to see Brother Melvin, Sister Mildred. Amen. Brother Alton, Sister Lisa. And I think Rebecca's hid back there somewhere. I'm going to try to preach to her tonight. Amen. Yeah, I see her back there. Brother Jimmy, Sister Ann, it's good to see you. Both of y'all here tonight. And what a blessing it is. It's a great number for a Sunday evening. Amen. If I had this many on Sunday morning, I'd shout and run the aisle. Or I'd have a heart attack, think they was there to vote me out. I don't know which. But if you will take your Bibles tonight, I'm going to try not to say nothing about Georgia. Now, the thing about that, you see, when people go to sleep, when my preaching puts them to sleep, if I mention Georgia Bulldogs, the Georgia Bulldog fans will perk up. I mean, they'll wake up. And the Tech fans will get mad. So it's accomplished its goal. It keeps them awake, you know. So if I catch y'all dozing off tonight, I may holler, "Go Dogs," or something, just so you'll wake up. But I better not say much. Brother Jimmy will be throwing songbooks at me. He is a Tech fan through and through. Amen. All right, if you'll be turning your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. Now, I want to read for an introduction. I want to deal with Jeremiah. The title of the message tonight is Revival in a Day of Crises. Revival in a Day of Crises. And this is a message the Lord has laid upon my heart, and so I know this is God's will. And you don't have to turn, but I'm going to turn to 2 Chronicles and just give you an introduction. In 2 Chronicles chapter 33 and verse 9, the Bible said, "So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err, to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake unto Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken." And then in verse 20, "So Manasseh slept with his fathers, and they buried him in his own house. And Amon, his son, reigned in his stead." Verse 22, "But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father. And Amon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made and served them, and humbled not himself before the Lord, as Manasseh his father had humbled himself. But Amon trespassed more and more. And his servants conspired against him and slew him in his own house. But the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Amon. And the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead." I'm going to deal with Josiah in a moment, but here in chapter 34, it said Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that was right. In the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. And then in verse 14, it mentions that they found the book of the law. And then in verse 27 of chapter 34, it said, "Because thine heart was tender and didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest these words against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humble thyself before me, and didst rent thy clothes, and weep before me, I have even heard these also, saith the Lord. And then we know that after Josiah, we know that Jehoiakim, his son, was made king, and Jehoiakim did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, in the book of Jeremiah, I'm going to refer to it in just a moment, revival in a day of crises. Now, beloved, far as I know, everybody in America knows that we're in a crisis, except the president. The president says that the sun's going to shine, the birds are going to sing, and he said we're better off than we were in the days of Reagan. He said there was more murdering and going on in the days of Reagan than there are now. So I guess he's the only one in America, as far as I know, that doesn't know that this world is in a mess, and this world's in a crisis, and America's in a crisis, and we're in trouble. We're in trouble. If we don't have revival, I don't know. I know the Lord could come at any moment. I believe that. The Bible teaches that. I know Brother Melvin all these years has championed the truth of the coming of the Lord. And the Lord could come at any moment. He may come before I finish this message. But then he may not come before I finish this message. He may or may not come this year. I don't know when the Lord's going to come. But, beloved, I know one thing. We need a revival. We're desperately in need of a revival, individually, in our families, in our churches. And our nation is far from God. And I know our nation needs to return to some truths that they used to uphold and believe in a country. And so our nation's in trouble tonight. And so, beloved, I want to bring out for a few minutes tonight about Josiah and the reformation that Josiah led. Josiah tried to have revival in his day. Most of what Josiah did was outwardly. Now, in his day, there was a prophet named Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah, Josiah was great. I'm saying nothing against Josiah. But Josiah dealt with the outward form and tearing down of the groves and the altars of Baal and the statues and all of those things. And Josiah dealt with that, and that was needed. But, beloved, Jeremiah dealt with a heart. And I want to tell you that revival will start not outwardly but inwardly. Revival must start in the heart. And we know that they found the book of the law in the temple, and they brought it to Josiah. And Josiah read the word of God, or it was read in his presence. And we know that Josiah was concerned about the apostasy in his day, as we should be concerned about the apostasy in our day. You see, the Apostle Paul talked about they would, in the last times or last days, there would come a day when men would turn away their ears from hearing sound doctrine, and they wanted to be tickled, and they wanted to hear fables and all of those things. Beloved, that's the day we're living in today. And Josiah tried to turn his people from apostasy to the true faith, faith in the Lord. And beloved, that's what we need. We need faith in the Lord. And our nation has apostatized when it comes to truth. You see, our nation no longer accepts the Bible as the Word of God. Our nation no longer accepts that there is one God, one true and living God. Our nation says you can worship anything you want to. You can worship anything or anybody that you want to. And so our nation is far from God. But Josiah tried to purge the idolatry that was around him in Israel. And beloved, America is full of idolatry tonight. And we're suffering because of the sin of our country and the idolatry of our nation. Josiah wanted to promote the knowledge of the true God. Oh, how we need to lift high the bloodstained banner of the Lord Jesus Christ, not be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the holy word of God. We know that we believe heaven was pleased with what Josiah was trying to do. In one verse, it talked about the good things that Josiah did. And it said that he neither went to the right nor to the left, but he stayed true to the Lord. So we know that Josiah wanted to have revival. But he started with the outward. He started with the Reformation. We know that, beloved, he was a young man. Now, thank God for our youth. But, beloved, our youth are not to... Now, I love young people. I was once young many years ago. But, beloved, God did not ordain for the youth to lead the church. Amen? We got to have the youth, and we got to do things with the youth and for the youth. And we need the youth involved. I know a church that's out of a pastor, and they put a 18-year-old boy on the pulpit committee. Now, I wonder how long he's been saved. I wonder how full of the Spirit of God he is. You say, preacher, we're to represent. You better put on there who God wants you to have on there. They put a 25-year-old boy on there, and I'm not knocking 18-year-olds and 25-year-olds. I was there myself at one time. But, beloved, a church better pray. I encouraged that church before they formed a pulpit committee, before they ever began to look for a pastor. I encouraged the leaders of that church to have prayer meetings and pray till the Holy Spirit spoke and let the Holy Spirit choose the pulpit committee. Amen? But it seemed like, I thank God for what I've heard already about prayer was mentioned about this morning. But, beloved, we need to pray. That's what we need to do. If there's one area of failure in our world, in our churches today, I don't pray enough. I need to pray more. And we all need to pray more. But Josiah was a young man. And Josiah discovered the book of the law and had it read to him. Would to God that Baptists discovered the book of God. Amen? Again. People know all kinds of books. But, beloved, this is the only book that's going to get us out of the trouble we're in. This is the only book that a church needs to follow tonight is the book of God, the Word of God, the eternal Word of God. We need to find the book of God as Josiah did. And then, beloved, we know that Josiah made a covenant. He had the people to come together. And he had the people. He had the scribes to read the Word of God, the law of God, to the people of God. And he made a covenant. The people come together and they covenanted together to follow the Lord. Would to God we'd realize, beloved, that we're covenant people, that we belong to the Lord. And, beloved, my church has a covenant. I'm sure this church has a covenant. You know, I wonder sometimes if we shouldn't get them out and rub the dust off of them and just read them and see what they have to say. They're important. But Josiah made a covenant to the Lord, and the people made a covenant to the Lord in 2 Chronicles 34, verses 29 through 33. And then we know that they started keeping the Passover, and they kept all of the feast of the children of Israel. Beloved, they really had an all-out feast for the Lord. You know what was involved in Josiah's offering to the Lord? There was over 30,000 lambs offered to the Lord. There was 3,000 bullocks offered to the Lord. There was 2,600 cattle offered to the Lord. 300 oxen offered to the Lord. Beloved, it went on and on and on, the offering they had to the Lord. And beloved, that offering lasted for days. Wouldn't that be something if somebody took an offering now and it lasted days? I bet we'd get run off if we tried to do something like that today, Brother Dave. But beloved, there's some things to be considered about Josiah's reformation or his revival. I want you to remember this. I hope you'll make a note of this in your mind. Josiah's reformation was more national than it was personal and individual. You know, beloved, it's one thing to join a movement, isn't it? It's one thing to get in with the crowd and go with the crowd. But, beloved, that's what Josiah did. But Jeremiah was right opposite of that. Jeremiah went to the heart of the people. Jeremiah preached to the heart of the people. And, beloved, I want to tell you, it's easy to follow the crowd, but it's another thing for God to deal with us on an individual basis. And that's exactly what we need. And Josiah's reformation was more national than it was individual. We need individuals having a relationship with God, not just following the crowd. But then not only that, beloved, it was more external than it was internal. Beloved, it was more external. You see, it was external. He had men to go out and pull down the altars of Baal. He had men to go out and tear down the statues that they had erected, beloved, in the land of Israel. And all of those groves and the different things, and he had them to tear all those things down. Now, you know, I can imagine the people that wanted to follow God were excited about that. Beloved, it's something when we can see something outwardly happen. And that's great. But beloved, internally, we need God to do something in our heart and soul. We need God to move in our hearts. We need God to move in our hearts. But then there's a third thing about Josiah's revival. It was more formal than it was spiritual. It was more formal than it was spiritual. Beloved, I wonder how much, now I don't know necessarily here, but I wonder maybe at my church and other churches, I wonder how many of us get in a formality of just coming to church. Do we just come to church on Sunday because that's the thing to do? Is it a form to us? I wonder sometimes if it just becomes a formality. Maybe even the singing of the songs or the, we know them all by heart. You know, we can have our minds somewhere else and sing our songs. We can have our minds on Georgia football and even say a prayer. And that's wrong. Amen? That's wrong. We shouldn't do that. That is wrong. Well, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that we do a lot of things through formality, beloved. We know all the religious cliches. We know all the religious songs. We know what's going to happen. We know what's supposed to be said. We know all this through a formality. But, beloved, that's what Josiah did. It was a lot of formality. But, beloved, Jeremiah says we need spirituality of the heart. We need spirituality of the heart. And so, beloved, we need more than just a formality. So many people go through a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, the Bible said. And then I want to look at Jeremiah. I've looked at Josiah. I want to look at Jeremiah. Beloved, Jeremiah had little to say about the Reformation. And you need to take note of that in your mind. The old prophet of God had very little to say about Josiah's Reformation. In fact, he said very little, if all, about it. And so, beloved, we find that Jeremiah in chapter 2, Jeremiah started like this in Jeremiah 2:11. He said, "Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods, but my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit." He said, "Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be ye horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." And so what Jeremiah, the Lord was saying through Jeremiah to the people was, that they forsook the true and living God for false gods. The true and living water which could quench their thirst, they forsook the Lord. And they give all of their efforts to going after idols and all of those things of the world. And that's what Jeremiah proclaimed to the people in his day. And then we find that Jeremiah went on to say this. You see, he said Israel never dealt with a problem. There's a problem that Israel has not dealt with. I want to tell you, America's got some problems that she just won't deal with. You know, they say there's a race problem today between the blacks and the whites. Beloved, I want to tell you what the problem is. It goes further than the color of a person's skin. It goes to the heart. Beloved, it's people's hearts. You know, the other day in the Preacher's Fellowship, we go every Monday to the Preacher's Fellowship. We went to Carrollton, we had lunch, and there was two black ladies sitting there. And I just felt in my heart to say something to them. I went up to the table and I said, "Ladies," I said, "there wouldn't be a race problem in this country if people knew Jesus Christ." They said, "Amen, preacher." Amen. I'd never seen them before in my life. But see, when we said our prayer, they said, those two ladies said, "Amen." Well, that got my attention. And you know, tears come in my eyes, Brother Alton. I've never seen those ladies in my life, but I really want to just give them a big old hug and say, God bless you. Amen? I try. You know, it's God's people. Now, I'm going to just tell you something tonight, friend. If you don't like black folks, you ain't right with God. Amen. I don't care who you are. If you don't like, if you don't love everybody, you don't love Jesus. Don't hand me no garbage about how spiritual you are. You might be saved. You might be saved, but I sure wouldn't want to face God like that. If you don't love everybody, you're not right with God. You say, well, I was raised. I don't care how you was raised. A Josiah was raised by a heathen for a father, but he didn't turn out to be a heathen. He turned out to be a man of God. Now, I want to tell you something, beloved. If we don't get to loving Jesus, if we love Jesus, we love everybody else. Amen? We love everybody else if we love Jesus. And so Israel would not deal. They outwardly done everything. They ripped down the groves. They took down the altars to Baal. They ripped down the statues. And they thought that would cause revival. That's an outward thing. And beloved, Jeremiah told them, he said, you have not dealt with idolatry in your heart, in verse 11 and in verse 22. Beloved, I'll tell you, we can outwardly go through the motions. We can be religious outwardly. But if we've got idols in our hearts, we're not right with God. Those idols have to be torn down. And then in chapter 2 and verse 5, verse 7 and verse 19, he dealt with their unfaithfulness. He said, thus saith the Lord in verse 2, verse 5 of chapter 2 of Jeremiah. He said, thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they have gone far from me and have walked after vanity and are become vain. God said they've walked away from me. God said they've been unfaithful to me. Beloved, I want to tell you, we need to be faithful to the Lord. We need to be faithful to the Lord. We need to be faithful to the Lord. And Jeremiah said, you've got to deal with these issues of the heart. And then in chapter 5 and verse 23, they were just plain out rebellious. He said in Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 23, he said, but this people hath a revolting and rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us fear the Lord our God. So Jeremiah, Josiah did all of these things outwardly that he thought would bring a revival. He tried to get the people to follow God, and they listened to the reading of the Word of God, and they made a public covenant with God, and they assembled together and done all those outward things. But, beloved, their hearts were not right with God. They did not deal with idolatry in their heart. They did not deal with their unfaithfulness towards God, and they did not deal with their rebellion towards God. And then Jeremiah preached against the vanity, beloved, that they thought, whatever they did was all right. They made excuses for everything they did, and they just thought it was all right. In chapter 2 of Jeremiah, verse 22, listen to this. He said, for though thou wash with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God. They washed outwardly with nitre and soap. Their outside was cleansed. And they thought that was all God required. Beloved, Jesus ran into that crowd in his day. You know, Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees, he said, you're white as sepulchers. He said, you've cleaned the outside, but the inside, you're full of dead men's bones. And beloved, I want to tell you, it's one thing outwardly to serve God. But what about our heart? What have we done with our heart? Where's our heart when it comes to God? Why are we not having revival today? Because our hearts are not where they ought to be with God. Beloved, Jeremiah dealt with their denials and their excuses in chapter 2 and verse 23, in chapter 2 and verse 35. He would not accept their excuses. He would not accept their reasons of why they did not serve God. I want to tell you something else Jeremiah said about his day. Jeremiah declared that there must be a moral change take place in the nation of Israel. In chapter 5 of Jeremiah, in verse 26, let me just read it to you. Chapter 5 and verse 26, he said, for among my people are found wicked men. They lie wait as he that seeth snares. They set a trap, they catch them. as a cage full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they become great and waxen rich. And so Jeremiah said there must be a moral change take place. He said in chapter 6 and verse 13, "For from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, every one of them is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even to the priest, everyone dealeth falsely." And beloved, he said there must be a moral change. Beloved, that's exactly what the New Testament said in 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new." Jesus declared there that there must be a change in a person's life who has come to Christ. You know what's wrong with religion today? It changes the outside, but it does nothing for the heart. You know, I told those black ladies, I said, "Ladies, America doesn't need religion. The religion will do nothing for the races in America, but Jesus will." And they were in agreement with me, beloved. We need a moral change. We need a moral change in America, beloved. It seems like what Isaiah the prophet said. He said there would be a day when man would call evil good and call a good evil. And isn't that where we are today? What you and I and what the Bible says is evil, our president and this country and politicians, they exalt it. They lift it up. And if you stand against sin and immorality, beloved, they call you all kind of dirty names. Beloved, that's the day we're living in. Jeremiah said if you want revival, there's got to be a moral change. And beloved, he went on to say not only a moral change, but he said there in 2 Kings 23:7 that they break down the houses of the Sodomites. I'll just leave that alone. You know what the Bible said. I don't need to deal with that. It's been dealt with, I'm sure, in this church. But then there's another thing Jeremiah said that they lacked, and that is the fear of the Lord. Jeremiah 2:19 and 5:24. Jeremiah said, "There's no fear of God in our nation." Would you not agree with me that in America, there's hardly no fear of God in America? You know why there's not much fear of God in our nation? There's not a lot of fear of God in our churches today. Amen? Don't you folks remember the day when you did not have to lock the church doors? Do you remember the day when you did not have to lock your cars? Do you remember the day when you did not have to lock your houses? Did you remember the day when you could walk the streets and hitchhike and get in a car with a stranger and you didn't worry about it? If you walk the streets now, you better be packing a Bible in one hand, Smith and Wesson in the other. Amen? Unless you want to go to heaven that night, the devil may accommodate you. Amen? Beloved, we're living in dangerous times. We're living in a crisis times. And there's not much fear of God anymore among people. Even God's people, even those that name the name of the Lord. Now, I want to bring this thing to close in a few minutes, but I'm not quite there yet. But Jeremiah said this, the prophet said this, we've had Josiah, we've had the outward, we've had the reformation, and it was great. It just didn't go far enough. Jeremiah was a preacher to the heart. Jeremiah said we need the heart. Look in Jeremiah 4:3. Look in Jeremiah 4 and verse 3. "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." Break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Beloved, you know what that means when Jeremiah was saying to the people to break up the fallow ground? That fallow ground represented their heart. Jeremiah said, we must come before the Lord in true repentance. Now I realize there's a repentance for a sinner that gets saved, and that's all he needs, but then there's a repentance in the life of a believer when he needs his daily walk cleansed with the Lord. You remember what Peter said to the Lord Jesus when Jesus was washing their feet?
Jesus, Peter said, Lord, don't wash my feet. Jesus said, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. And Peter said, well, wash me all over, Lord. Jesus said, Peter, you're already saved. You don't need to be washed all over. You just walk in a dirty world and you need your feet cleansed daily. We need our hearts cleansed. Beloved, if we want to have revival in our day, we got to break up the fallow ground of our heart. You know what that is? That's that old hardness in our heart. If you've ever pictured in Israel, in the land of Israel, how that they go out in that day and they would plant a certain field. The paths out to those fields, they would walk upon them and travel upon them, and they would become, the soil would become extremely hard. And beloved, Jesus or Jeremiah was saying to the people, he said, you've got a hard heart. And he said, you, but for you to have revival, you, the Holy Spirit has got to break up your heart. I want to ask you tonight, how is it in your heart? If God looked at your heart tonight, would he say you have fallow ground? Would he say there's hardness there? Oh, beloved, God help us. We need our heart cultivated. You know, the Lord gave me some things on that. I want to mention them in closing, and that is the attention we give the soil. In Matthew 13, you've got the parable of the sower and the seed. And there was four kinds of soil. There was a hard soil. And there was a thorny ground soil. And there was a stony ground soil. But then there was the good ground where the seed fell. And it brought forth fruit. And beloved, Jeremiah told the people, he said, break up the fallow ground and sow not among thorns. You know, I wonder sometimes on Sundays if that's not what we're trying to do in some of our churches. We're trying to sow among the thorns. You see, the thorns represent the curse of this world. And the thorns represents the ungodliness and the wickedness and the worldliness of what sin is doing to people. And they come to church and they say, preacher, I don't have any intentions of getting right with God, but just go ahead and preach and maybe a seed will fall on a little tiny area somewhere that might bless me. Oh, beloved, oh no, we need to clear away the thorns. We not only need to clear away the thorns, but we need to clear away, we need to break up that soil. You know, I'm a gardener. I love gardening. I tried golfing. And they laughed at me and told me we'd win the prize if they could got it on tape. Me swinging the golf club. I put the ball down, and about 75 feet out there was a pine tree. I don't want dummies to build a golf course and leave a tree on it. But Brother Dave, I swung at that one time, I missed it. Number two, I missed it. Number three, number four, number five. I was ready to throw that golf club away. Number six, number seven. I thought, Lord, goodness, Lord, please help me. So I finally hit that golf ball. Oh, that felt good. Any golfers in here? Raise your hand if you're not ashamed of it. And praise God, a golfer back here. I hit that golf ball. Man, did I ever drive that golf ball. Brother Jimmy's a golfer. So help me, that golf ball went straight for that pine tree, and it hit the front of that pine tree. And I'm telling you the truth with my hand on my Bible. That ball started bouncing and come right back within 3 or 4 feet of where I was. It was an 18-hole golf. I played 9 holes and give my club to the man that was paying for it. Because I figured he could get more out of it than I did. I'm a gardener. I'm not a golfer. And you know, come springtime, I take them old gang plows, that soil been sitting there, all laying there all winter long. And I take that Massey Ferguson 245 diesel, and I put them gang plows behind her. And I go out there and I sock it in the ground. And I get that old diesel going, and I lay that dirt, just lay it up. You see, I'd be foolish to walk out there in April and just throw some seed on top of the ground and crows would get it. Crows would get it. But I take that gang, and then when I put that gang plow up, I get that 5-foot tiller and hook it up behind my tractor. And man, I put it in that garden and I go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I may plow that 8 or 10 times, back and forth. Well, I've got 4 gardens, 5 count. Well, I got plowed my neighbor's garden, so that's 5. And you know what I do then? Then I put my laying off plow, lay them rows off. I lay them rows off. And then that's when I get the seed. Then I come along and drop the seed in the ground and I put the plant in the ground. Beloved, now I tell you what we need in our churches. Instead of just throwing a bunch of seed out on stony hearts and hearts of thorns, we need our hearts laid open by the Holy Spirit of God. And we need to get right with the Lord. And when God sends His word, it'll fall on good soil. People come to church, go away and wonder what's wrong with the church. They ought to go away and wonder what's wrong with them. Man, I tell you, if I'd have been half dead tonight, all that organ, piano, and all this over here, man, that got me feeling good, Brother Melvin. I thought, if you come to West Side and you don't enjoy it, there's something wrong with you. And then the choir, Brother Dave, man alive. That's alive, Sister Mildred. That's great. Hey, that's great. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Beloved, we need a revival, but it has to start in the heart. Has to start in the heart. I'm almost done. I said that a while ago. Y'all going to call me a liar. I want to mention another thing or two before we quit. That fallow ground. That's ground that's neglected. It's untilled. It's hardened. It's unbroken. It's untouched. And beloved, there'll be a wilderness of thorns and briars. And you, please write this down in your mind. If you don't cultivate your heart, Satan will be sure to cultivate it for you. If you don't cultivate your heart before God, Satan will cultivate your heart for you. You know, one of the saddest things as a pastor, I've been pastoring since 1977, is to watch people when they start growing cold. Breaks my heart. I pray, I cry, I try to talk to them. But if they've already got a hard heart, they won't listen. They won't listen when that heart's hard. You know, pastor's tears don't mean anything if a person's got a hard heart. If their heart's hard, they just don't care. And you'll see them backing away. You won't see them coming to the altar anymore. Now, I realize if you got bad knees, you don't have to come kneel down here. You can sit down and pray. You can stand up and pray. It's a position of your heart, not a position of your body. But it's sad to see a person when they start getting that old hard heart. You know, they used to weep when others wept. They used to rejoice when others rejoiced. They used to be moved when others were moved, but not anymore. Their old hearts are fallow. Their old hearts are hard. And how sad that is. And Jeremiah said to Israel, he said, you got all that outward stuff right. But he said, you need your heart broken up. Break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskin of your heart, he said. And he went on to say, declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet. In the land, cry, gather together, and say, assemble yourselves, and let us go into the defense cities. Beloved, I wonder how your heart is tonight. Is your heart on fire for God? Are you lukewarm? How is it tonight? You know, I've seen marriages. Boy, that's another, and it breaks my heart. I don't do many weddings anymore. I try my best to get out of them if possible. You say, why, preacher? Because so many people just, they don't mean it when they get married. A few years down the road, they'll come to me crying and say, well, preacher, we're going to get a divorce. We can't get along. We don't love one another. We made a mistake. I tell you, that just about kills a pastor. He dies a lot of deaths in his members. He loves them, cares for them. But what about your heart? Ladies, is your heart with your husband tonight? Do you love your husband with all of your heart? You know you're one. Do you love her with all your heart? What about it, men? Do you love your wife? As the Bible said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. What about children to parents? Parents to children. Is your heart in it? You know, you can tell when somebody's heart's not in it. No matter what you do. You think Kirby Smart, oh, here I wasn't going to say nothing about Georgia. You think Kirby Smart would let somebody get out there against North Carolina September 3rd at 5:30, by the way? On ESPN, I think. You think one of them big old giants of a man's going to say, well, coach, I don't know if we can beat these boys. I don't know if I want to get out there. I tell you what, if I know Kirby Smart, I watched him when he played in Athens, and I watched him when he went all them other places in Alabama. Why, you know what he'd do? He'd get over and shake them big boys and say, you ain't fixing to get in this game. If you ain't got your heart in it, you stay on there. You stay out of this game till you get your heart in it. And, beloved, I want to tell you, this world needs to know that God's people, when they come to God's house, has got their hearts in it. Amen. 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 Got their hearts in it. We need our hearts in it, beloved. We need our hearts with God. We need to walk with the Holy Spirit. We need to be led by the Spirit of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And the Bible said, be not drunk with wine, where's excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. We need Christians that are filled with the Spirit of God and their hearts are turned towards God. Their hearts are turned towards God. Oh, beloved, how's your heart tonight? How is it, church? Is your heart in this church? Is your heart in your family? Is your heart with the Lord tonight? Oh, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. I had a young man one time, and I'm almost done. If the song leader start looking for a song. Young man told me, said, you know, Brother Ricky, said, I'm going to follow that crowd that up North Georgia that pushes, you know, goes to, it's different than you. He said, but I got to hand it to you, Brother Ricky. I've learned from you. You've got a heavy heart involved. You know, I've made a lot of mistakes, Brother Melvin. But I've tried to have my heart for the Lord as pastor 39 years. I want my heart. I want people to know my heart. I wish people could see my heart. I want them to know my heart. This world needs to see our heart. They need to see the heart of God. They need to see the heart of God's people. Does Nuna know the heart of Westside? Westside's got a heart. Have you showed them your heart? Have you revealed your heart to lost people, to your family, to your friends? Jeremiah said, and I'm finished. He said, break up the fallow ground and sow not among thorns. We need a revival that starts in the heart. What about, brother, come on, let's have a song for the day. Now, I don't know your heart, but how is your heart tonight? Josiah was all outward. It was all reformation. It was all outside, all outward. And Jeremiah come along, said, that's great. But what we got to have is that heart. What we need in our nation is a heart for God. East Hiram needs a heart for God. West Side needs a heart for God. While we stand, sing what page, Brother Dave? Won't you stand? Won't you come? The altars are open. You want to be saved? The Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, you can be saved. How's your heart tonight? While we sing, how's your heart tonight?
Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Countest thou all things for Jesus' but lost. Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson blood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God.
Before we sing another verse, keep playing. I think we need to ask ourselves, Lord, I think we need to ask the Lord to open our hearts up, till our ground. Brother Ricky preached a great message. And I want to tell you, those last 15 minutes, it was aimed right at the heart of Westside Baptist Church. I'm afraid we let our hearts get a little hard on the Lord. Too many times we're not letting Him drop the seed that needs to go into our hearts. The seed of healing and the seed of the desire to serve Him even the more. We've allowed the seed that the Lord's had for our lives just to bounce off the hardness of it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the altar call. Why don't you come down tonight and say, Lord, just till my old heart, till this thing up that I can receive what you have for me, for your cause, for your glory, in the name of Jesus. Brother, why don't you sing again? Let's sing another verse.
Hast thou dominion o'er self and o'er sin? Is thy heart right with God?
Till my heart
over all evil without and within. Is thy heart right with God?
Hey. Hey.
Is thy heart right?
With God,
washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the
still have
sight
people praying at the altar.
There no more condemnation for sin. Is thy heart right with God? Does Jesus rule in the temple within? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson blood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God.
Well, blessed be the name of the Lord. Brother Ricky, thank you for that wonderful message. I tell you, that went right to the heart of things. And I hope we'll take that home with us, meditate on it. Maybe moms and dads have a little pillow talk about it. The need to keep our hearts tilled for the Lord. And praise the Lord. That was good preaching. Thank you.